From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, the plight of the upscale restaurant host charged with turning customers down for reservations. First, though, midterm elections today in Texas. Races for governor and lieutenant governor have the state's attention, but an item on the ballot in Denton has gathered national interest. Voters are deciding whether to adopt a ban on fracking within city limits. Passage would mean a legal precedent in the power struggle between cities regulating for health and safety and the rights of mineral owners. A steady stream of voters are filing into Martin Luther King Jr. Recreation Center this morning. Dwali Saikautau spent some time with them.
Jacqueline Hawk proudly put her "I Just Voted" sticker on her shirt as she walked out of the center trying to avoid the rain. Nearby was a woman wearing a frack-free Denton t-shirt and two men with signs that read "Responsible Drilling." Hawk says she voted for the ban.
I just don't think they've done enough research into the effects that it has. I'm afraid, 100 years from now, our children and grandchildren are going to feel the repercussions of us injecting stuff into the earth, and it just seems like a bad idea.
She says there was a lot of confusing information out there, but in the end, she felt there were too many questions still about the safety of hydraulic fracturing in urban communities. Dwali Saikautau, KERA News, Denton.
Now to a battle online. Russians are suspected of trying to break into unclassified White House computers last week as hackers broke into the city of Cleburne's system after a police officer shot and killed a dog. The Cybersecurity Research Institute at UT Dallas celebrated its 10th anniversary last week. Executive Director Bhavani Thurasingham joins my colleague Justin Martin for a look at online security.
Welcome to the KERA Newsroom.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with those two attacks last week. Very different targets and approaches. Cleburne had what's known as a denial of service attack. Now, do you know how that type of attack is different?
Yes. What happens with those attacks is that instead of stealing information from the computers, what happens here is that they plant malware to slow down the machine, which means the resources will not be available to the legitimate users. And so that's called the denial of service.
Now, there's been some speculation that the White House attacks were done by Russians. I've been reading about countries like China, Russia, and even North Korea as establishing cyber warfare units within their own militaries. How can government and companies protect themselves from that?
So this is a big challenge that we have because we are being attacked in all directions. I mean, there are these rogue nations that are attacking us. There are these teenage hackers who are attacking us. And so we've got to be really vigilant. We need to make sure that our machines and networks are healthy. We have to make sure that we change our passwords, and I do that every 3 months. And we've got to be several steps ahead of the attacker, and that's easier said than done.
You run UTD's Cybersecurity Institute. Obviously, starting that a decade ago seemed smart now, but you know, what was the reaction in 2004?
Yes, so in 2004, although the word cybersecurity had been coined, it was still very early. And so when I joined UT Dallas, I think the UT Dallas administration, they were thinking ahead. And so we built it step by step. And I was just a one-woman show at that time. And then we grew it to 10 professors working entirely in cybersecurity in our engineering school. And we also do a lot of interdisciplinary research with risk analysts, economists, and cognitive neuroscience.
I'm curious, does poverty play a significant role in online crime? I mean, do we see greater concentration in certain criminal activities from more impoverished areas or countries?
I have looked at, because we've been talking to sociologists and we've looked at which groups of people. To date, I cannot make a strong correlation between poverty and attacks, but people are recruiting hackers and giving them money for them to join their organization. So from that point of view, poverty could play a role.
Professor Bhavani Thurasingham heads up the Cybersecurity Institute at UT Dallas. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
On our way out, the host stands at exclusive dining spots. When some of them turn away customers seeking reservations, they use the apology, "We're fully committed." That's instead of saying, forget about it, pal. Fully Committed is the title of an off-Broadway comedy currently at Fort Worth's Amphibian Productions. Jerome Weeks says it's a solo show requiring full commitment from a single frantic actor.
Think of Fully Committed as half of Greater Tuna. In Greater Tuna, all the comic citizens of a Texas town are portrayed by just two actors. In Fully Committed, a single performer creates 39 characters.
Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
The main character is Sam, the poor soul who's yoked to a telephone headset in a cluttered basement office. He's answering reservation requests for a very high-pressure, high-society New York restaurant. Sam must contend with the owner, a menacing celebrity chef, as well as a fairly useless maitre d' named Jean-Claude. He does all this while juggling calls from supermodels requiring extra special food preparation, and self-important rich people who expect everyone will hop to their last-minute demands.
First of all, I've been holding for 10 minutes. Number two, you gotta do something about that music. Those crescendos, they're really very piercing. All right, now, I need to speak with Jean-Claude regarding Friday evening. It's Carol Ann Rosenstein Fishbane. I'm sorry, he's not in right now. Can I take a hello?
For New York-based actor Russell Saylor, every performance of Fully Committed is a workout. He doesn't even get costume changes. He does all of these rapid-fire characters with just voices and physical mannerisms. Directed by Evan Mueller, Saylor delivers a whirlwind of a performance. Mercifully, playwright Becky Moe does not leave Fully Committed a theatrical stunt. How many different caricatures can one hyperactive actor do in 75 minutes? We learn Sam has a widower father in Indiana, hoping his son might visit for Christmas. And we learn Sam, of course, is an actor who hopes he can ditch this awful job and these awful people because of his recent audition at Lincoln Center. He keeps calling his agent for updates.
Could I talk to Diana? Oh, she's in a meeting. Is there something I can help you with? Yeah, I was just calling to see if you'd heard anything from Lincoln Center. Sam, if we had heard anything, I would have called you.
At times, Fully Committed is touching and amusing. But perhaps it's because it's been 15 years since the play debuted off-Broadway. In that time, there have been 13 seasons of restaurant reality shows like Hell's Kitchen on TV. They've helped make high-maintenance chefs and obsessive foodies pretty standard fare. Or perhaps it's because of the novel, Love Me Back. It's Dallas author Merritt Tierce's debut, an unblinking portrait of a wretched waitress working in the cocaine and degradation culture of a pricey Dallas steakhouse. Whatever the reason, the humor in Fully Committed doesn't seem as funny or cutting as it could be. That's not entirely the play's fault. Social satire can age quickly. Here's one measure of how less than crispy fresh the references are in Fully Committed. 15 years ago, if a chef labeled his cuisine Global Fusion, we'd chuckle at the pretentious blather. Google Global Fusion today, and you'll find it's the name of a very successful restaurant chain in Mumbai. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Fully Committed runs at Amphibian Stage Productions through November 23rd. We got a strong chance of rain in the forecast through tomorrow. It should get up to around 68 before falling into the mid-50s this afternoon. 67 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.